Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Outreach with Reggie. I'm happy you're here. If this is your first time, welcome in. Grab a seat. Take a breather. And feel relaxed. I hope you're okay. I hope you're somewhere safe. And I hope wherever you're going, that you're somewhere on your way, or you're reminded that you're cared about, loved, and cherished. Second, if you're now returning to Outreach with Reggie, welcome back. I hope you brought some more people with you, and if not, that's okay too. I'm glad you found a space of comfort within this podcast, and that I have earned your trust to be a podcast that you can listen to and that you can learn from and share. So with that being said, we're going to walk into today's episode. And today's episode is about... Today's episode is for the people who carry the weight. First and foremost, if you're still on your New Year's resolutions, I applaud you. And I'm thankful that you haven't given up on yourself. And if you haven't made it, and if you've broken a few New Year's resolutions, I want to remind you to give yourself grace. Give yourself grace and pick yourself back up, because there's a long road to go in 2026. And not only do I trust that you're going to make it, I believe that you're going to get right back up and put in twice the hard work that brought you here. But this is for the people, today's episode, that carry the weight. For the advocates, the nonprofit workers, the foster parents, the case managers, the organizers, the organizations, and the faith leaders. For the people who keep showing up, no matter if it's for your goals, no matter if it's for yourself or for the ones you love. The people who keep showing up even when they're tired, overwhelmed, and quietly wondering, how much longer can they keep going? This episode is called Burned Out But Not Broken: The Cost of Caring Just a Bit Too Much, or So You Feel Like It. And I want to say this clearly from the start. Burnout is not a character flaw. It is often the natural response to being asked to do the impossible work inside systems that refuse to change. So without further ado, stay tuned for this episode, and I hope I can provide some insight. Recently, the Georgia Division of Family and Children's Services, or otherwise known as DFACS, revealed an $85 million budget deficit. At the same time, the state of Georgia is operating with a historic budget surplus. I believe I heard it to be $14 billion, but I'll clarify that soon. But nevertheless, billions of dollars beyond projected revenue. And that contrast matters. For there to be millions of dollars within a budget deficit and billions of dollars for a surplus, that contrast cannot be ignored. Because when child welfare budgets fall short, impact is not theoretical. Real organizations that help assist and help cater to the lives of many thousands of youth who are in care, youth who deserve a decent childhood. Not more than decent childhood. This is how a child's upbringing starts. It's not theoretical, the impact. It's immediate. It's human. And it's carried by children and the people tasked with protecting them. Well, for those who wonder Reggie, what is your role in this? How do you know? What do you know so much about it? Well, I was there. I had the opportunity to bear witness this firsthand about these effects. And I apologize for not speaking on it sooner. But on December 18th, I was literally there. I spent 6 hours, or close to 6 hours in that room, along with colleagues that spent more hours in there, listening, advocating. I was listening to testimony, watching tension rise, and feeling the weight of what happens when systems begin to fracture. I spoke as someone with lived experience in the foster care system. Spending close to 17 years in the foster care system, I recognized a bit of what it was in the role of the foster child. But never did I experience, up until now, what does it look like in the roles of those who show up, founders of organizations who show up and provide resources and establish, create resources for these foster children to have not only a productive childhood, but a nurturing childhood. For those who help the foster parents with resources that they may need, and even actual parents who are just trying to look out for their child. I listened as providers and organizations, including one that's near and dear to my heart that I was with for some time, Youth Villages. I listened to them testify how budget cuts have reduced things like transportation services. And I say that because transportation may sound small to some people. We have public transportation. We have all forms of transportation, planes, trains, and automobiles, right? But in foster care, transportation is everything. It is how children see their siblings. It is how therapy is accessed by these children, foster parents, and actual parents. It is how they maintain routines, relationships, and a sense of normalcy. When transportation disappears, connections disappear within it. And I can attest to what I said at the Georgia Capitol on that day, that being in care, one of the biggest things that hurt me was not being able to see my sisters. And that came because for some time before they were adopted, I had to be transported by different contractors from my place at the time, which was in Metro Atlanta. And I had my brother who stayed in South Georgia, and well, not quite South Georgia, but south of Atlanta. And my sisters who stayed in way far east, outside of the Metro Atlanta area. And if it wasn't for those transportation services, relationships would have been cut, and it would have made things a lot harder to maintain. And over time, as I lost connections to my siblings, but in slowly finding them again after care, I realized that how transportation is very needed for siblings who live across the state. But I want to talk about the room. I watched agency leadership within Georgia's DFACS director, Candace Broche. And I'm not here, I want to establish this, I'm not here to diminish anyone's character. I'm not here to trash anyone. I'm simply here to give what I saw. I watched agency leadership respond to questions about accountability and fiscal planning. I watched lawmakers push back on things that did not seem fair. There wasn't a healthy space to really take accountability for why things happened. I remember hearing things about how could the budget be this way, and when the budget was proposed, why didn't we account for these systematic failures? And she just seemed very overwhelmed. And as you see that, you see the pain and the reality of from these organization leaders who want the best for their children, want the best for the people that they serve and care about. Hearing these stories about the children during, by this time, getting ready for Christmas, and a lot of their Christmases looked different, or were going to look different, and did, unfortunately. And hearing these stories, and if we're being honest, she came at the last minute, but it was as if hearing all those stories and the climax being the person who's in charge. And unfortunately, the room felt very heavy because everyone understood the truth. In the middle of it all, as she was speaking, all of the workers, the advocates, the organizational leaders, the people who stand side by side fighting for the rights for these kids every day, they all understood the truth. When systems fail to plan, people are being asked to compensate with their time, their bodies, the emotional capacity, and even financially, to the point where they just run out. They leave. They leave the care system altogether. Not because they wanted to, because the capacity that they can do it runs out. And that's where burnout begins, truly. And this is much bigger than Georgia. This is just a clear example of what is going on, a clear story. What's happening in Georgia is not isolated. Across the country, child welfare workers manage caseloads far beyond recommended limits. Foster families are leaving faster than new ones are recruited. Preventative services are underfunded while crisis intervention increases. Young people age out of care without housing, support, or permanency. This isn't just burnout. This is a moral injury. The pain of knowing what children need, but being structurally prevented from providing it. Being able to care so much, you want to do everything right by these children because you know where they come from. But not being able to have effective solutions because of systematic struggles that are far beyond what you can handle. And the access points to get to them are so stringent and so strict and so hard that the capacity to get them will often cause burnout. So let's get into what it means to be burned out, but not broken. Let me be clear. Advocates are not burnt out because they don't care. They're burnt out because they care deeply. Inside, systems that rely on sacrifice instead of sustainability. When we tell people to push through, no matter if it is the care system, or if you have a goal, or you have a thing that you want to hit so bad regarding goals, missions, aspirations, or resolutions within what you want to do in life, you want to achieve it. But when we tell people to push through without changing the conditions, we normalize harm. Caring too much should never be treated as the problem. But what does it mean? What does it mean to have solutions? Well, if we tell people to push through, we must have things, the strategic ways of doing it. So what does that change actually require? Well, first, fully funded prevention, family preservation, transportation, mental health services, and early intervention keep children out of foster care and reduce long-term costs. Second, using surplus funds responsibly. Along with that, being able to firmly analyze the budget in ways that we can prevent things like this. Budget surpluses should stabilize essential systems, especially child welfare, not bypass them. Third, reduce caseloads and support workers. This means hiring more staff, offering competitive pay, providing mental health support, building supervision models that prevent burnout instead of reacting to it. Fourth, protecting sibling connections. Transportation and visitation are not extras. They are protective factors that directly impact a child's well-being. And finally, center live experience in the decision-making process. One of the organizations I have a pleasure and a privilege, and I mean privilege, to work for is, we go by the motto, nothing about us without us. And what I believe to be the meaning behind that is, you can't make effective change about foster youth without foster youth. And what I mean by that is, when you make these change, including budget, including things like transportation services being cut, actions like this to be happen where organizations fall through because things like that happen, you have to have youth with lived experience in these rooms. And it's not as a token voice, but as leadership, putting them in leadership roles, granting them the responsibility of being able to give them the language, meet them where they are, because people who lived in the system as fostered children know where the systematic things break first. And it does not start on judgment day when we realize things go wrong. It is a pattern, but that requires true transparency. Transparency to say that things are wrong. Not closing the door because you've with lived experience, you don't believe, or you have your mixed assumptions. And when we open the door to having youth with lived experience so that everybody understands truly, that's when we are allowed to have real solutions, real steps towards change. So that's what I mean by solutions. And that's what I mean by including lived experience, being a bridge. So let's redefine showing up. There is a dangerous belief in advocacy spaces and all around that says, if you are burned out, you're not committed enough. If you're burnt out and not committed enough, I want to tell you, if anybody that lives in this belief that if you're burned out, you're not committed enough, I will tell you that's not true. That belief is not true, not by a long shot. Showing up does not mean destroying yourself. No matter if you're chasing a goal, advocating for change, or changing within yourself, showing up does not mean destroying yourself in the process of change. Showing up means naming what is unsustainable, that's not healthy to you. Setting boundaries without shame. Asking for help and demanding better systems to be in place. Choosing longevity over martyrdom. Sometimes showing up looks like rest. Sometimes if it looks like stepping back to stay in the fight of the things you're chasing, give yourself that grace. Sometimes it looks like telling the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. And if you struggle to accept the truth, or if you struggle from dealing with the truth, as someone who I, with my hand raised, I sometimes have human errors myself, and that's okay. Give yourself grace too. And don't be afraid to work on those things. You can still be tired and still be called and still work for change. You can be overwhelmed and still be effective. And you can be burned out without being broken too. So for the listener, if you're listening to this and wondering how much longer can you keep going, hear this. You're not weak. You're responding normally to an unhealthy system, a big system, systematic changes that you are fighting for to change, but are not quite budging just yet. The solution is not for you to give more of yourself. The solution is for institutions to take responsibility. And this matters because child welfare is not a niche issue. Children in this system will grow up to shape our communities, depending on how we show up for them now. This is not about charity. These children are not charity cases. They're not to be tokenized. They're not to be used commercially. This is about justice. It is about responsibility. It is about building systems that do not require people to burn themselves alive to keep others warm. So in closing, as I remember December 18th, leaving that Georgia Capitol, I left that room carrying a familiar weight. I remember talking to a colleague of mine who she was there since that morning, 9 a.m., and we left at 6 p.m., sitting there. And just she would tell me how she felt like there was nothing to gain out of it. And I shared similar sentiment at the time. But I also carried a familiar weight, not because I lost hope completely, but I was reminded how much hope cost when systems refuse to change. Burnout should never be the price of compassion, and caring too much should never be treated as a flaw. To love something, to care about something, to care about someone, to care about something enough to realize that there's change needed to happen should never be a flaw. It should only be something that should be applauded, recognized, and if you feel burned out, give yourself grace too. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Outreach with Reggie. And real change starts when we stop asking people to carry the weight of what institutions refuse to hold. So as you leave from today's episode, I want to remind you that you are not broken. You're not weak. And if you feel burnt out, that does not mean that you don't care. That means you do care. Take some time. Get some rest. And realize that the work, while still need to be done, realize that you are needed, you are loved, and I really hope you reminded about how much you're needed and cared about today. So rate the episode, rate the show on all platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible. We're on TuneIn in your radios, in your cars. Look for resource guides on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn. But nevertheless, as you go into this week coming up, remind yourself to give yourself grace, the gift of grace, and remember to care about yourself a little bit more today. Much love. Take care. Peace.